Prices may vary. Store stock only while supplies last. Delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for more details.
Anyone else feel sorry for the Drake Bulldogs? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
No timeouts for Tennessee. Bone rises now. And the dream is alive. Loyola rambling on to the Sweet 16.
The NCAA tournament is back. You can catch all the action tonight beginning at 6 o'clock right here on KGYM. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. With you until 6 on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Good show for you today. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Iowa State, just like Iowa, getting ready for spring football. We'll check in on how things are going with the Cyclones in Ames. Woodja is on tap in hour number two tonight also. And then we step aside for the tournament games. Loyola, I believe, is first up tonight, right? Loyola,
yes.
And Nevada.
Nevada.
At 6:07 first tip. Nevada, a one-point favorite in that game right now. I saw Eric Musselman's daughter was getting her picture taken, or got her picture taken, with Sister Jean, the 98-year-old nun who's sort of the de facto mascot for Loyola, earlier today at the team hotel. So we'll have plenty of action tonight, and half of the Elite Eight will be set. Texas A&M takes on Michigan. The Wolverines, if you are curious, are a 2.5-point favorite in that game. Kentucky, a 5-point favorite over Kansas State tonight, and then Gonzaga, a 6-point favorite over Florida State in the nightcap. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker text line. Hertin and Stocker, located at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City, the city's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. They bring you the text line available to you to reach out to us. You're also going to want to keep that phone number handy, because sometime between now and 6 tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to take home a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. Great happy hour specials. We'll run them down for you coming up in just a little bit, but also a great place to watch the games tonight if you're looking to maybe get out of the house, or hey, college kids used to start their weekend on Thursday nights. Maybe you can relive some of your glory days by going out and grabbing a bite to eat or a drink or two tonight on a Thursday. Welcome in. As we mentioned, great show. And while we're talking college basketball, I want to start with this because I am seriously, legitimately bummed to hear that Nico Medved is leaving Drake after only 1 year. Nico Medved, who's been on the program with us a couple of times, a guy who I found to be a tremendous, tremendous individual. I thought he had great energy. I thought he had great charisma. I said numerous times on this show that he's the exact type of coach that they needed at Drake to lift that program out of the doldrums. He's there for a year. I can't get mad at him. I don't think many people can. He's going to Fort Collins, Colorado, to be the head coach at Colorado State. He was an assistant at Colorado State under current Nebraska coach Tim Miles. Remember when Colorado State got really good and Tim Miles was the coach? Nico Medved was the lead recruiter. So he's got an opportunity. I'm sure he feels like that's home. He's got an opportunity to go to a place where he's had success before as an assistant, and now he gets to be the number one guy. But I feel really bad for Drake because the future was looking bright. They accepted talked their way into the CTI tournament, right? And were able to keep things going, and the last men's team in the state standing until they lost recently. And now they're back to the drawing board, and I don't know. This is just, it's just another reminder in the world of NCAA athletics that we hold players and coaches completely two separate standards. Players cannot just up and leave without consequence. Coaches do it all the time. And again, I like Nico Medved. He's a good guy, and I'm happy for him, and I think this is a good move for him because I think long-term, it's really difficult to succeed at Drake. You can do it in short spurts, but where that program is at right now and the rest of the conference, it's a tall task. 319-366-1600.
And he has a senior Leighton team. He had a senior Leighton team this year. And there's no question that he was able to turn that team around. They went from 7 wins last year to 17 wins this season. And I don't blame him one bit. I think it's probably a good move because, like you said, Todd, it's very difficult to win at Drake consistently, and it's certainly difficult when he has to somewhat rebuild next year and start over without Reed Timmer and without some of the other seniors in his lineup. But I think Scott Unash put it best earlier today when we were talking during lunch and in the sports office. Drake had finally found a guy that understood what it took to win at Drake, what it took to run that program and make that program successful relative to expectations. And he's gone after 1 year. This sucks. I don't know how to say it any differently. And what they do with this next hire, I'm going to be very interested to see. I would absolutely not want to be part of this hiring search because what do you do? Do you go after a former head coach who has been successful other places, who may not have a job? I know Rob Howe threw out a couple of names earlier today on Twitter, whether it was Tim Floyd or Todd Licklider or Larry Eustace. I don't know if he was joking or not.
I'm pretty sure he was being sarcastic.
I think he was too. But do you hire from within? You have to find somebody that understands the route you have to take to win at Drake, which is not an easy one and not one that is going to happen overnight. So best of luck to them, to the Bulldogs hiring a new head coach. I do not envy them one bit.
The best thing to happen to Drake was Dr. Tom Davis deciding to come out of retirement and taking that job so that he could hand it off to Keno Davis. It just so happened a confluence of events. Dr. Tom is there, and you get players like Adam Emenecker, and all of a sudden that team that Keno led to the NCAA tournament's really good, and then he leaves for the Providence job. And unfortunately for Drake, again, like I said, the momentum is extremely difficult to keep moving forward in that job. The facilities, there are just a number of things working against Drake that are going to make it really difficult to be a top-tier, upper-echelon team in the Missouri Valley Conference. So Nico Medved gets an opportunity to go to Fort Collins, Colorado State. Again, there's a comfort level there. Worked under Tim Miles when Miles was the head coach before he left for Nebraska, and Drake is back at square one. It's just, it's ironic because, as we've talked a number of times, if Nico Medved were a player, if he had signed a letter of intent and was a player for Drake, he'd have to sit out of here. There would be a consequence to him changing locations. But a coach, you can just pick up and leave tomorrow. There are no consequences. If there's a buyout in your contract, you either settle it or the school that is hiring you comes up with the money, either from their boosters or just from their general fund, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. So, interesting to look through it, at least my perspective, in that light. And I know it's easier said than done, but and we're talking about 700-800 basketball players every year transferring. Iowa has two who have transferred. Iowa State's lost at least one player this year to transfer. Virtually every program does, but there are consequences for most of those, unless you're a Brady Ellingson type or you graduated senior and you can go and you can play somewhere else almost immediately. There's a lot of other stuff to get to in the program today. I'm glad you brought up Rob Howe because he had a tremendous point on Twitter earlier in the week about A.J. Epenesa, and some Hawkeye fans are wringing their hands over the fact that A.J. Epenesa is listed as a second string
we called this
defensive
Todd.
Lineman behind Parker Hesse. Yes, we did. But we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Big trade in the NFL today. Jason Pierre-Paul traded by the Giants to Tampa Bay. Now there's speculation that what do the Giants do with the number two pick in the draft? Do they perhaps go out and draft Bradley Chubb, right? That's his name?
Yes, from North Carolina State, defensive end.
A replacement for Jason Pierre-Paul? A cost-effective replacement? I know this is something I know you were talking about earlier today in the bill. I don't necessarily have a dog in this fight, but I understand where the NFL teams are at nowadays with regard to developing players.
And that the answer is not very far. They don't want to develop players. And I've talked about this. I don't want to necessarily rehash talking about the CBA because people don't care. But the rookie salary cap and making it so cost effective to bring in rookies, even as first round draft picks, and not necessarily develop them, but play them right away, has not only led to the fact that teams don't want to pay free agents like Le'Veon Bell, but it leads to a cycle that I think has completely watered down the product of the NFL game and is going to continue to. And I saw this the other day. Mark Schlereth was talking about Lamar Jackson as a quarterback. And he said he was bringing up Bill Polian's comments about him not necessarily being a quarterback, that he should switch to right wide receiver. And he said the NFL doesn't have really any interest in developing a player like that, and compared him to some of the other draft picks that were selected at the end of the first round or even in the middle of the first round. And what do they pay those guys nowadays? $9, $10 million? That's chump change to them. That is pocket change to them. And if that doesn't work out, they just part ways with them. No harm, no foul to them. If it does work out, great. They find their replacement in 5 years. So you want to know why the NFL product is down? That's why the NFL product is down. But I think the Giants, if they have the number two pick and Saquon Barkley gets there and they don't select Saquon Barkley, as bad as their running game has been, I think they'd be making a huge mistake.
I didn't read the story yesterday, but I saw a headline that said Saquon Barkley's stock was spiraling. We go through this every year.
Yeah.
Every year, the players that are expected to be taken at the top of the draft board, sometime between the combine and the draft, you'll read a story about virtually every single one of those players where their stock is mysteriously taking a hit. Has Saquon Barkley taken a snap between the end of the regular season and today? No. His combine numbers don't necessarily change overnight from what they were. So you tell me, why is his stock spiraling? It's just, there's so much time in between the end of the season and then the combine and then the draft that guys have to come up with stories to write. And it's not interesting to just say, yeah, he's the best running back available in the draft and probably going to go off the board in the top two or three picks. We never really got into an in-depth discussion on what the Jets are going to do having traded up for the number three pick. I know there are a lot of people out there that don't like that selection. I heard Will Cain espousing his thoughts on it ad nauseum.
That's a surprise that he would do something like that.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a big Will Cain fan, but at least I know who
no
he
comment.
Is. He has no clue who I am, and that should tell you all you need to know about that discussion. But, of course, he's saying that, you know, the Jets made a bad mistake in trade. I think if they want a quarterback, and chances are that Saquon Barkley is going to be taken perhaps at number two, then you're going to get the second best quarterback in the draft. Maybe it's not the guy that you want, but if that's the direction that you're going, or, I mean, who knows? Two quarterbacks go in the first two picks. I'd find it hard to pass up on Saquon Barkley with number three. So I don't think you can kill a team for making that pick. And if they made that pick on the day of the draft, people would probably be going gaga over it.
But they're making it 6-3.
They're making it in March, and of course it is the Jets, so they're getting killed for it.
Yes, but no, I think they probably moved up to either address the loss of Muhammad Wilkerson with Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State, or I am really high on Josh Rosen. I think he's, as long as he can stay healthy, and that's the big question with him. That's the big question for a lot of these quarterback prospects. I think he's probably the best quarterback in this draft. I think even ahead of Sam Darnold. So the Jets moving up, if they can get their guy in Chubb or Josh Rosen, develop them into what they want them to be, then it'll all be worth it. They need to find their quarterback, though. That's first and foremost.
It's interesting you mentioned development, because there is a big story today involving minor league baseball and the movement of minor league baseball players to be paid a minimum wage. And let's just say that the man is once again trying to keep minor league baseball players down. We'll have that story for you before 6 o'clock as well tonight. And again, a chance for you to take home a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. It's going to be yours sometime before 5 o'clock. We're going to be talking with Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports coming up in just a few minutes. Cyclones underway in Ames as they get ready to wrap up spring practices. I believe their spring game is the week before Iowa's, and they do theirs traditionally on the Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. So we'll get Alex's perspective on what's going on with the Cyclones. Would you on tap as well? Maybe we ask, who would you hire if you were the Drake Bulldogs, what direction you would look in? I don't know. Maybe Steve Alford's looking for a safe landing spot out of UCLA. He's failed upwards every time he's been at a job. So
yes, he
has. Wouldn't surprise me if Alford winds up as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors somehow. No movement on them. They're keeping him around, it looks like, for another year, because he's got Shaquille O'Neal's son coming in and he's got a good recruiting class. But I think it's safe to say that the seat is certainly warm there. Speaking of basketball, great conversation on the gym class earlier today with Kevin Lehman, Scott Unash, and Mark Dukes. If you missed it, podcast is available at kgymradio.com. The gym class has not one but two chances for you to win tickets to opening night with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. It's Saturday, April 7th. The Colonels are taking on the Quad Cities River Bandits, and you can listen in. Scott and Mark are asking you to identify the team that famous double play combinations of yesteryear played for. If you can name the team, you get to take home the tickets. Today it was Mark Belanger and Bobby Gritch, the Baltimore Orioles. I lobbied for some sort of very extremely obscure double play combination involving either the Cubs or the White Sox, but I was overruled on that. And there have been some obscure ones. Of course, we had, and by the way, thank you very much for lunch today.
I
feel, even though as if you owed it.
I did owe it.
It was long overdue.
It was long overdue.
I'm looking at you, Kyle. You also owe us lunch. But I feel
I'm
as if
excited
people
excited about that lunch.
I feel as if people just sort of take it for granted. So I wanted to make sure to say thank you. We went out to Union Station today. I know they're a fine sponsor for Twins baseball broadcasts on 107.5 FM all summer long, and had a tremendous lunch. The guys were happy. Scott and Mark were happy because they were able to watch golf on TV. I was happy because there was a spring training baseball game on, and Kyle was very happy because they had One Life to Live on one of the CBS soap operas. I can't remember which one.
And it had one of the actors from a famous show, Blue Mountain State. Those that are familiar with that show, Johnny Moran was the actor.
There's nothing wrong with soap operas.
On that soap opera. It was kind of just stunning to see him transition from that show to a soap opera. It was startling.
Kyle calls them his dailies. He likes to sit there and watch them every day in the bistro. 424. We'll step aside.
That's what you're doing in the bistro every day.
Yeah.
I was always wondering.
We'll step aside. He's taking a little me time. Everybody needs a little me time from now on.
Ain't that the truth?
424. We'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back. The aforementioned Kyle Mann will have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Big honor announced today for Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluder. UNI adding to its football staff with a former NCAA national champion. All that and more coming up for you when we return after this.
Sports and rock and roll go together like wings and beer. Cubs and Cardinals, Hawkeyes and Cyclones. John Fogerty's center field is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. The infamous disco demolition at Comiskey. Moments you can remember, like U2 at Soldier Field. It's your tailgate playlist. Sports and rock and roll. That camaraderie is alive and kicking right here in the corridor. For sports fans who love smart rock, it's Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Every personal record you achieve makes you want to set another and another and another. That's what it feels like to be a sales consultant at Zeta 2.9, The Gym, and Smart FM. As your clients' businesses continue to win, you become even more passionate about helping them. And your success is supported by a bunch of sharp, creative, love this place people. We're adding someone to our tribe right now. So if you feel the way we do about this community, about working hard, and about helping local businesses, email Steve at KZIA.com to apply.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here, and boy, do I have a deal for you. The deal with this deal is that you get both a breast and a whole wing when you choose my new 100% white meat KFC $5 fill-up deal. You also get dealt mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink with this here deal. I can't keep dealing this deal forever, though, so you have to go to KFC soon to get the two-piece all white meat $5 fill-up, because it's only available for a limited time. Deal? Deal. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Tax extra. Prices may vary. Size may vary by location. Extra charge for breast piece and size substitution may apply.
I believe it was The Young and the Restless, which was on one of the TV sets. And honest to God, I'm not making this up. My roommate, my freshman year at Iowa, was very into The Young and the Restless.
How does one become very into The Young and the Restless?
I don't know.
I feel like that's just something on TV. And
I never asked any questions.
The channel.
He was a manly man, but he enjoyed watching The Young and the Restless. Again, I did not ask any questions. You do you, I do me, and then Thursday nights we head to the Field House. Good reminder, we've got a $30 gift certificate to the Field House in Cedar Rapids coming up for you before 6 o'clock tonight. Yes, 6 o'clock, not 7, because we're early out for Westwood One's presentation of the Sweet 16. It'll get kicked off with Loyola and Nevada tonight. Right now, we're going to kick things into high gear with our first Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor. He's young. He's restless. He's Kyle Mann.
Iowa baseball avoided what would have been a pretty rough midweek loss to Loras yesterday. Iowa trailed 4-1 in the eighth inning before a two-out bases-clearing double by Matt Hogue tied it, and then a walk-off home run by Austin Guzzo lifted the Hawkeyes to a 6-4 victory. The first five guys in the lineup each had hits, including a home run by Robert Neustrom. Drake basketball had its best and only winning season since 2011 in head coach Nico Medved's first year. And Medved's going to be one and done in Des Moines, as today reports came out that he's going to be hired as the new head coach at Colorado State. Cedar Rapids Washington product A.J. Puck is the top prospect in the Oakland A's farm system and the 32nd best prospect in baseball. But yesterday he was shut down by the team to manage some left biceps tendonitis. His injury is not thought to be overly serious, so he'll be back to throwing relatively soon. The second-seeded Kirkwood women cut it close last night in their NJCAA quarterfinal, but escaped with a 65-61 victory over Northern Arkansas. Tiana Wilson led with 18, and Olivia Usher had 16 to help the Eagles advance to the Final Four, in which they'll face third-seeded, undefeated Highland Community College from Highland, Kansas. We'll be hopping off the air an hour early tonight as we pick up Sweet 16 matchups in the South and West regions. First up at 6 o'clock will be 11-seed Loyola and 7-seed Nevada, followed by Texas A&M and Michigan, Kansas State and Kentucky, and Florida State and Gonzaga. You can hear coverage of all those games on all three KGYM frequencies.
Some nice honors for Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluder and Megan Gustafson today, the Women's Basketball Coaches Association naming Bluder the Regional Coach of the Year. Gustafson earns a spot on the WBCA All-Region Squad. Let's talk Cyclone football next. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports is going to be with us. Big year in the rearview mirror for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones, coming off the Liberty Bowl win over Memphis. What are they doing this spring to build on that? We'll ask Alex when he joins us next. It's coming up on 106.3, 107.5, and 1600 AM. More on the way after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
Ever you listen to podcasts. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. There's an NFL trade today. The Buccaneers get defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul in a deal with the Giants. New York gets a third-round pick in return, and the teams swap fourth-round picks. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports a Spurs players-only meeting on Saturday night did not convince Kawhi Leonard to come back and help the team. ESPN's Jay Williams.
I do not think Kawhi Leonard wants to be part of the Spurs organization moving forward. And I think the fact that he hasn't been able to get on the same page or get his staff, his crew, on the same page as the front office for the Spurs, it's unfortunate, but I think it speaks for itself.
The Spurs are tied with the Pelicans for fifth in the West. Connecticut is hiring Dan Hurley to be the Huskies' new head coach. Hurley will leave Rhode Island, where he's coached for the last 6 years. He'll get a six-year deal at Connecticut. Miami guard Bruce Brown Jr. declares for the NBA draft, although he will not hire an agent, so he could end up back with the Hurricanes. The Sweet 16 tips off tonight in Atlanta and Los Angeles. Among the matchups, Kentucky against Kansas State.
Brought to you by JCPenney. Dress the part without spending a ton. Save 50% on select suits, sport coats, dress pants, and more at the JCPenney Men's Wardrobe Sale. Even big and tall, only at JCPenney.
This is
Did Not.
Did Too.
With McDonald's new $1, $2, $3 menu, you can choose among favorites for just $1, $2, or $3, which means you can get two Happy Meals for $3 each, a triple cheeseburger for $3, and a two-piece buttermilk crispy tenders for just $2. Or, as Dad likes to call it, the
finally, some peace and quiet on this cross-country road trip meal.
But Dad, I thought you always called it the family time is special time meal.
Build whatever meal you want with McDonald's new $1, $2, $3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out.
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Nobody knows paint quite like the pro, and nobody appreciates pro painters quite like the Home Depot. During Pro Appreciation Week, March 19th through 25th, Pro Extra members get special discounts on top pro brands, like 25% off all Behr Pro paint. Nobody beats our prices, guaranteed. And that's especially true for pros. Pro Appreciation Week, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Available in-store while supplies last. Must enter Pro Extra phone number at checkout to receive discount.
Hey, it's Mike. My team just pulled off the biggest upset in the history of forever.
Nice, Mike.
Yeah, and some fans are getting crazy. They even flipped over a car.
Whoa.
Turns out it's my car, though.
Oh.
But I don't want to be upset right now. I want to know State Farm's going to take care of this, right?
We got you covered, Mike. Enjoy yourself.
Yes! Woo! Thank you! Woo!
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Interesting question on the text line, 8704. How realistic of a candidate for the Drake job is Ali Faruk-Manesh, the former UNI standout, currently at Nebraska, working with Tim Miles? I don't know. Would not be surprised if his name surfaced with that job and Drake decided to see if there was any interest there, but we'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in hour number two. By the way, I was a Days of Our Lives child. I was raised at home with my mother who worked nights. And so talking about soap operas. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a guy who likes his soap operas. Stefano De Mira is one of the all-time greatest villains, and I will stand by that take to my grave.
I have a hard time disagreeing with you because I have no idea who that is.
Oh, Stefano was good. That guy had more lives than a cat. Unfortunately, the actor who played him passed away, so I think Stefano is officially dead. So is this show if we keep talking about soap operas, so let's circle it back around to sports, right? The talk sports crowd, they tend to dictate everything in this day and age, so let's stick to sports. And the Cyclones in particular, Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports with us as Iowa State's getting ready for its spring game next month. Alex, what's the big storyline with Matt Campbell's Cyclone so far this spring?
Well, yeah, they just started spring ball yesterday, and so 15 spring practices leading up to, like you said, the spring game on April 14th, and a little bit more crammed together this year. They normally have started, you know, the week before spring break, then had spring break, and then came back. This year they decided to do it all after spring break, so it's crammed in really to 4 weeks, but you still get those 15 spring practices. So, you know, they lose some key pieces from last year's team. I think there's obviously a couple position battles that you really look at. They lose all three starting safeties, and so that's really the one that I think is highlighted for a lot of people is who starts at those three safety spots, and then the middle linebacker spot with Joel Lanning gone. There's, you know, three guys there, including I think one of the top challengers for that spot is Cedar Rapids redshirt freshman now, Orion Vance. And so, you know, those are a couple of the storylines is, you know, position battles. But the thing Matt Campbell said yesterday that is really going to be the key for this 2018 team is how much better that offensive line can get. You know, they do return now four guys from last season who started a good chunk of games. I think three of those guys started the whole season, and one of them, you know, played about half the season worth of probably starts. And so they do have more experience there, but he said, you know, this team and the running game is going to go about as far as that offensive line can go. And he said he doesn't know if, you know, as much as we've seen from David Montgomery, if we've seen him as a true running back, because he said a lot of what he's had to do in the last year is improvising because that offensive line is still maturing.
And that's where I want to start is that offensive line. You saw last year, David Montgomery, despite his greatness, he rushed for 4.4 yards per carry and led the country in missed tackles. So he's doing it a lot on his own. And games against TCU and Texas and Oklahoma and even Memphis in the bowl game, they really struggled to get any movement and to get anything going in the running game. Is this kind of an extra emphasis right now for Matt Campbell realizing what he has in David Montgomery, a potential All-American running back, and also the fact that he likes to run the ball? His teams at Toledo ran the ball very well.
Yeah, you know, when you look at last year's run-to-pass, you know, ratio, I guess, they were slightly under 50% running the ball. I think they were like 47% of the time they ran the ball. And when you look at some of his past teams, especially, you know, Toledo with guys like Kareem Hunt or David Fluellen who went to the NFL, you know, it was more 50-50 and probably a little bit more geared towards the run most years. And so I think eventually they'll probably get to that point where they're not too far off of that, but, you know, 3% even can be a little bit different in the carry total versus, you know, the amount you're throwing the ball. And I think they do want to become a run first team, and they've gotten close to that. But like you said, a lot of that hinges on what that offensive line can do. And you know, there is a lot of attention been put on, you know, the broken tackles and the forced missed tackles that David Montgomery had last year, and those are great numbers for him, but I think Iowa State would like those numbers to be less, because part of the reason those are having to be broken is because a lot of his first contact is coming right at the line of scrimmage. I was looking through Pro Football Focus, some of the data that we can use with 24/7 Sports, and you know, one of the numbers I think is he's getting about like 1.01 yards before his first contact, and that's just not very much, and so that's what's got to improve. And I think the positive for Iowa State is they don't lose a lot from that offensive line. You lose Jake Campos and Robbie Garcia, two starters from last year. But when you look at what's returning on this offensive line, and you know, Bryce Meeker and Julian Good-Jones and Josh Kniffel, they go back and forth in terms of two quarterbacks, like they maybe tried with Joel Lanning and Jacob Park. But you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Zeb Nolan proved himself by some point in the season. But it sounds like I'd be really surprised if it's not Kyle Kemp, you know, against South Dakota State in September.
What one player needs to have a big spring, in your opinion? One guy that needs to look good, show well in front of the coaches in order to position himself for next fall?
Well, that's a really good one. You know, there's some guys that need to, you know, I think do well to get playing time. You look at the receiver position, and they lose 246 targets from last year, and so there's guys that need to step up. But I think one guy that really needs to step up in terms of assert himself as a starter, it might be Greg Eisworth at safety. You know, as I mentioned before, they lose Kamari Cotton-Moyer, Reggie Wilkerson, and Everett Edwards as their three starters at safety, and it's pretty bare back there. You know, they do like the talent. Matt Campbell said that he thinks that their secondary might be their deepest position, but it's deep in the sense that a lot of them are freshmen and sophomores, and Greg Eisworth comes in as a, you know, I think a top 75 JUCO from Trinity Valley out of high school. He went to Ole Miss, and so he's been at a Power 5 program. He's played, you know, reps at JUCO at that safety position, and they brought him in, you know, as a mid-year JUCO to start. And so I think he needs to really show the staff that he's picked up on things and that he can start next year as a redshirt sophomore and kind of command that group. And it's crazy to think, but he could be the veteran of that group in the sense of, you know, he'll be in college for a third year, and then the guys that are going to be behind him are freshmen and sophomores. So I think if he can assert himself, take one of those safety positions, that would be big for that group because then they can bring some guys up behind him.
Now, Alex, I know a lot of people make the comparison between Matt Campbell and Bill Snyder as far as the philosophy offensively. And last year, I think they got to a point where Matt Campbell realized that with this team and against some of the offenses that they were playing, they needed to grind games out. They needed to try to keep the opposing offense on the sideline. They did it against Oklahoma. They were able to do it against Memphis in the Liberty Bowl and against TCU as well. But my question for you is, as this offense continues to evolve and they get more talent into that offense, do you think they'll push the pace more, or will it always kind of be that grind it out, take the air out of the ball type offense?
Yeah, that's a good question because it's kind of one of the things I wrote about today and writing about the running backs. And it's cliche, I think, how much he says it at times, but he brings it up a lot that, you know, players, formations, plays is kind of the order he tries to go into. And I think we did see that a lot, like you said, last year, is more than I think I ever saw with especially Paul Rhodes. And I didn't cover – that was really the first, you know, program I had covered was under Paul Rhodes. And so I don't have a lot of familiarity with game week by week how much the game plan has changed. But – Campbell's changes a lot more than I remember Rhodes ever changing. Like you said, week by week, it could be different depending on do they need to grind it out or what kind of game they need to get into to have the most success. And I think it does a lot of times go back to that players' formations plays in terms of some games, maybe they don't have the pieces to compete in certain ways, and so they change things. And I do think that the offense will continue to evolve for a couple reasons that you mentioned. You know, one of them is running back. You look at this year, and their workhorse is going to be David Montgomery. You know, I think I wrote today that he had 258 of their 369 carries last year when you include Joel Lanning in that mix. You know, that's about 70% of their carries went to David Montgomery. I think that's going to be the case again. But you bring back Kane Nwangwu off an Achilles injury who showed really good signs as a freshman in 2016, and then Johnny Lang, a freshman who they've raved about, kind of 5'9", you know, 5'10 shorter guy, but a quick and shifty guy. So they really like and rave about those two guys. Well, how do you fit them in the mix? Well, yesterday, the running backs coach, Nate Shieldhouse and Campbell both said, you know, they could use them in the slot. They could put them in motion. They might put two backs in the backfield at the same time. So I think that's one dimension that where you could see that offense change a little bit. And then their tight ends, they've now got two sophomores and a redshirt freshman that they really like, you know, Chase Allen being the main guy in that group. And he's gotten so much attention because, you know, they beat Nebraska and Michigan for him, but I think people have kind of forgotten that he has been a freshman, and so he's added 20 pounds up to about 240, 245, and it's going to be a little bit closer. And Campbell really loved to use tight ends and a lot of times double tight ends at Toledo, so I think those two things will change the offense. And so I think we're going to see them do a little bit more tempo stuff where they, because they got some of those tight ends that they think can attach the line or split out wide, they've said they can maybe do more speed up stuff because they don't have to take out of the tight end to change the package. So I think you're right, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how much of that does change as they have more of these actual pieces that they want in the offense.
Let's talk about another young and exciting player that Matt Campbell has talked about a little bit this spring. That's Rial Mitchell, the freshman. What is he showing the coaching staff, and could he carve out a role as a true freshman?
Yeah, that's kind of the other interesting thing is because we saw them try to find a way to utilize Joel Lanning last year. You know, obviously he had moved to middle linebacker, but they thought he could add something to that offense. And, you know, Matt Campbell was asked about that yesterday. You know, do you see a role for Rial Mitchell? And he said that it's probably premature to say that because he said until you really see him in spring practices and maybe even into fall camp, he doesn't want to say, you know, he's going to do this or he's going to do that. But with what we saw about Joe Lanning or what we've seen in them trying to find little roles for different guys, he hasn't ruled it out. He said that he has a different athleticism and a different ability than any of the other quarterbacks on the roster. And so it sounds like they're open to the idea of having a special Real Mitchell package. Now, we'll see if that actually happens. You know, sometimes there's talk about those things in the spring, and it's kind of fun for them to tinker with it. And then maybe it doesn't pan out, or maybe it just doesn't materialize in the fall. But it is definitely something that they're at least talking about, where Real Mitchell could maybe have a package and maybe put him back there with the David Montgomery or with the Kane Nwangwu and do some different things in terms of a special set. But it's going to be interesting. They've really liked his athleticism. It's good for him. And the only reason I think this is even a talking point is because he enrolled early in January and has had off-season workouts. It'd be rare for a true freshman quarterback to be in that role, but I think because he enrolled early, it's given them the option to at least play with it for the next 4 weeks.
Who do Iowa State fans root for tonight, Clayton Custer and Loyola or Hallis Cook and Nevada? One team has to win, one team has to lose.
I think more fans would probably root for Loyola. I think, you know, part of it just that they feel more of an underdog, I think, than Nevada. And I think also, you know, Clayton Custer, he left, but I think, you know, a lot of fans really like, I think when he left, maybe it was a bigger deal than when Hallis Cook left, just in terms of there's a lot more, I think, people saw that he could have continued to do at Iowa State. And I think it was just the guard overload never gave him that chance. But I think it seems like a lot of people continue to kind of root for him. But Hallis Cook, in no fault of his own, I think people kind of forgot about him for a little bit because he left to Nevada, was going to play. Then he had the heart condition. Doctors told him he couldn't play anymore. So he became a GA there, and his career was basically over. And I think a lot of fans kind of forgot he was playing because then, you know, within the last year or so, doctors said, hey, you can play. And so I think a lot of people, you know, probably still linger on and hang on to Clayton Custer a little bit more.
What's the biggest question for Steve Prohme as the Cyclones head into the offseason?
Well, you know, after Lindell Wigginton, which I don't think it's much of a question, I think he'll be back after he tests the waters here in the NBA shortly, but I don't think he'll leave. I think the biggest question is just finding an identity for this team because they've got some different pieces with Lindell Wigginton and Cameron Bard and Nick Weiler-Babb, and they add Mario Shayok and Michael Jacobson as sit-out transfers who sat out this last year. I think there's pieces there, but they got to figure out how to put it all together, and I think they never really figured that out this last season. There were so many different pieces. A lot of them came in the summer or you know, so close to the season that it never felt like they really put everything together. And I think now they've got a full offseason to figure out, is Lindell Wigginton going to be your full-time point guard? You know, how does, you know, Solomon Young and Cameron Lard fit on the court at the same time? I think they've got to figure out some of those things. And like Steve Prohme said, probably just minutes after the season when we talked to him, they've got to get a lot better defensively. But I think it starts with finding an identity and then go from there.
Alex Halstead, 24/7 Sports. We appreciate it as always. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Interesting note for people who maybe forgot about Hallis Cook at Nevada tonight. Nevada and Loyola kicking off the Sweet 16. You can hear it right here on all three of our frequencies. Westwood One's coverage of the 2018 NCAA tournament continues at 6.
He brings up the point that a lot of people had forgotten about him. I'm sure that a lot of Iowa State fans watching the Nevada Wolfpack play had the same reaction that I did. Wait, Hallis Cook? That Hallis Cook? He's still playing college basketball, but he is. And yeah, that's an interesting story how he goes from kind of retiring from basketball GA and then pops up at another Division I program in the NCAA tournament.
4:52, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We've got another big board update on the way, as well as your chance to take home a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. You're going to have to wait just a couple more minutes for that, though. I promise we won't make you wait too much longer for it. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier girls track and field team got their outdoor season started on Tuesday at the Sherwood Relays hosted by Iowa City High. The host Little Hawks captured the team title while the Saints finished sixth. The Saints did not capture any event wins, but got a second from Teresa Lampe in the 100-meter hurdles. The girls will run next Tuesday at a meet hosted by Iowa City West. The boys' track and field team will run this Saturday at Coe College, hosted by Mount Vernon. The remaining spring sports will soon get underway. Girls golf will have their first meet on April 3rd. Boys and girls tennis will begin on April 2nd. Boys soccer will take part in a jamboree on March 29th at Kingston Stadium. And girls soccer will also kick off their season with a jamboree on April 2nd.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
I'm IndyCar driver James Hinchcliffe at the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event. I know these vehicles so well, I can identify them blindfolded. I'm feeling my way around this Honda, and it has enough room to seat up to 8. This must be the Honda Pilot at KBB.com Best Buy.
Hurry into the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event and get 0.9% APR on the 2018 Pilot for well-qualified buyers.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
See dealer for financing details. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Drew, Division President at Reinhardt Food Service in Cedar Rapids, and Reinhardt is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com. rfshires.com.
Welcome back in, 4:55. Nebraska coach Tim Miles has weighed in on Nico Medved's move to Colorado State. We'll tell you what he had to say coming up in hour number two. Plenty more to get to, including that $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse. But first, time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa baseball avoided what would have been a pretty rough midweek loss to Loras yesterday. Iowa trailed 4-1 in the eighth inning before a two-out bases-clearing double by Matt Hogue tied it, and a walk-off home run by Austin Guzzo lifted the Hawkeyes to a 6-4 victory. The first five guys in the lineup each had hits, including a home run by Robert Nystrom. Drake basketball had its best and only winning season since 2011 in head coach Nico Medved's first year, and Medved's going to be one and done in Des Moines, as today reports came out that he's going to be hired as the new head coach at Colorado State. Cedar Rapids Washington product A.J. Puck is the top prospect in the Oakland A's farm system and the 32nd best prospect in all of baseball, but yesterday he was shut down by the team to manage some left biceps tendonitis. His injury is not thought to be overly serious, so he'll be back to throwing relatively soon. The second-seeded Kirkwood women cut it close last night in their NJCAA quarterfinal, but escaped with a 65-61 victory over Northern Arkansas. Tiana Wilson led with 18, and Olivia Usher had 16 to help the Eagles advance to the Final Four, in which they'll face third-seeded, undefeated Highland Community College from Highland, Kansas. We'll be hopping off the air an hour early tonight as we pick up Sweet 16 matchups in the South and West regions. First up at 6 o'clock will be 11-seed Loyola and 7-seed Nevada, followed by Texas A&M and Michigan, Kansas State and Kentucky, and Florida State and Gonzaga. You can hear coverage of all those games on all three KGYM frequencies.
The Fieldhouse on First Avenue happy hour specials include $2 well drinks, $2 domestic pints, $2.50 domestic bottles, and $3 craft beer pints. Your chance to take home a $30 gift certificate is right now. 319-366-1600, caller number 6 will take home that gift certificate. Happy hour, a great opportunity for you to stretch that gift certificate a little further. You could even keep the Fieldhouse in mind if you're looking for a place to watch the Sweet 16 games tonight. They do begin shortly after 6 o'clock with Loyola and Nevada. One team will make its way to the Elite Eight. Alex and I will discuss our thoughts on tonight's games when we rejoin you, hour number two on the way next.
You know, before Boost, our phone bill was obscene.